Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is Vet Echanan, and it means, and I pleaded. It covers Deuteronomy 3:23 through 7:11, and that's not a store. This Torah portion covers two main themes, a reiteration of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20, as well as the Shema. There is also a commandment of putting on tefillin and affixing the mezuzah to our doorposts. In Deuteronomy 3, Moses has been pleading with the Lord to allow him to go into the promised land. We may remember that last month in Parsha Chukat, Moses and Aaron were instructed to speak to the rock and have water come forth. However, they said, must we bring forth the water? And they took the credit for themselves instead of giving it to where it belonged, God. God did not allow them to enter the promised land. By this time, Aaron had already died atop Mount Hor, and Moses once again asked God, "May I please go with my people into the promised land?" God told Moses, "Do not speak to me anymore about this matter." I don't know about you, but if God says that to me, it's never coming up again. God instructed them to go top of Mount Pisgah and look west, north, south, and east, and he would see the land with his own eyes, but he would not enter. Our hearts go out to Moses as he pleads with the Lord to let him enter the land, something which had been his goal for 40 years. What a painful lesson that was for him. Hopefully we can learn that lesson through example rather than through pain. You see, though God graciously forgives us when we repent of our sin, it does not mean we will not have to face real consequences in the here and now. God tells Moses to go and talk to the people and let them know that Joshua would be their leader and then encourage him. Moses is making clear to this new generation that will enter the promised land that Joshua is God's chosen leader. In chapter 4, Moses gives the Israelites a review of their journey through the wilderness. They have come up the eastern shore of the Jordan River and are now near Mount Nebo. As Moses gives his final instructions, only two people are there who had made the entire journey with him, Joshua and Caleb. Virtually all their peers had died and were buried in the wilderness. Now the new generation is ready to enter the promised land. As Moses recounts their trials and tribulations, he pleads with them to obey Adonai, who loves them. They are to listen to the law and follow it. More importantly, they are not to add anything to the law nor take anything away from it. Oh, if we'd only listen to that one. There is a reminder that it is our nature, our natural sinful tendency to add to the word, to make things more complicated, just as the Pharisees did. Of course, the other side of that says, I'm not comfortable with this portion of scripture, so I think I'll delete it or I'll reinterpret its meaning. Obedience is our way of saying we love him. In chapter 5, Moses instructs the people again about the Ten Commandments. And I want you to notice that the first three commandments are vertical in nature. They are all about him. 1, you shall have no other gods before me. There is only one God. 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol. We are to worship only Adonai. If other things dominate our attention, our focus is not on the Lord. 3, you shall not take the name your Lord God in vain. It is disturbing to see people identify themselves as Christians, but who are willing to take the Lord's name in vain. When someone yells out, Jesus Christ, when they are upset, this is using the Lord's name in vain, as well as claiming to be a follower, but then practicing dishonesty in business. 4, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord has commanded you. 2, set apart the Sabbath day to honor and worship God. 5, honor your father and your mother. To respect one's parents so that your days may be long and it may go well with you in the land your God has given you. 6, you shall not murder. 7, you shall not commit adultery. In Matthew chapter 5, Yeshua told us that we are liable for the sins, even if they aren't outwardly, We may appear innocent, but we have harbored hatred or lust in our eyes. Well, that convicts every one of us in the room. We must guard our eyes and the intentions of our heart. 8, you shall not steal. Notice it does not say you shall not steal big things. Have you ever gone to work and taken things home that weren't yours, thinking you were entitled to this because you'd worked there? Nope. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Have you said things about friends that weren't true or spread rumors because they said something that you just didn't like or you didn't like them? Brothers and sisters, Proverbs 19:5 comes to mind. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. He said we were all liars. And the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that is your neighbor's. We have a tendency to want to keep up with the Joneses. I don't really know who the Joneses are, but God gives us what we need and then some. And we should be thankful for what he does not give us, namely what we deserve, his condemnation. In chapter 6, Adonai instructs Moses to tell the people to keep his commandments, statutes, rules, and to remind them of his greatest commandment, the Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. When we see the word Echad in Hebrew, it can mean one, but it also means a unity, a composite or a diversity which allows for the unity that is more than one, a reflection of the triune God. The Shema goes on to say, you shall love your Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And we are to teach our children that. We just recited it a minute or two ago. They asked him about it, and God said, hear, O Israel, the Lord their God, the Lord is one. The two most important commandments are that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. If we do these two verses, or these two commandments, we follow all 10. And if we follow all 10, we would follow all 613 as well. In our lesson today, we see the Lord Adonai had for his people Israel. He loved them enough to set boundaries and instructions in obedience. Yeshua was the only perfect example, and we are to strive to become more like Yeshua. In Romans 7:15, Paul says, and this is the tongue twister, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who does it, but the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. As wise as Paul was, and as the zeal that he had for the Lord, he was still a sinner, just as we are. The Israelis weren't perfect during the time of the crossing of the Jordan, just as we aren't perfect. This is why we have always needed Adonai's grace. Our mighty God has provided the way so that we may be accepted in our Lord Yeshua. He is the only way to the Father. He himself said as much. There is no other way. Brothers and sisters, did you trust him to bring you to the promised land? Are you obediently in his word and applying his commandments to your life? Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you is that you're actively seeking him everywhere you are and in everything that you do. Amen.